We most certainly were all blessed through the word which we heard, and I believe that the Lord will also speak this morning to all of us. But our hearts must be prepared. Sometimes there are such precious words and thoughts of God, and it would be a pity when they fall by the wayside, when they would not reach our heart. When God speaks to us in such a wonderful way, then we should understand with all that is within us how well He means with us, and that He wants to address us. And not only that, but the word which He brings nigh to us, this He does for a purpose, to then make it a reality, to put it into practice. For whatever He says, this happens. When He says, "Let there be light," then it must become light. When He commanded, then it stood fast. When He spoke, it was so, just as He said it. We must count with it, that God not only speaks with us, but that the said things, the spoken word of God, is not only a revealed word about which we then again speak, but a word of God which finds fulfillment by grace in you, in me, through us. That's how it was, at least in the early church, and thus it must be again at the end. It says, they praised the word of the Lord. Why? Because they saw the confirmation. They experienced what God promised to them in His word. I don't know, but I hope that we prepared our hearts in prayer. These are serious hours, hours of preparation, not only of teaching. It is heading towards the goal. And if we were already advised in the word of introduction that this salvation is already available, but only at the end it will be manifested. The end of all things is at hand. God, through the apostles and prophets, He foretold the end already at the beginning, and He made known to us what will be. Today we will have a Bible hour, not to demonstrate the thoughts of God, but to let us know with all our hearts what God plans with us, how He classifies us, and for what He wants to use us. Before we go into the scripture, I think we should once again pray together, and just saying to the Lord, "O God, we are here not to hear a man, but to hear You. Take him whose lips You want to use. Take our hearts. Just take everything captive under the obedience of Your will, and manifest Yourself Let us stand up again and pray. Heavenly Father, together we come into your holy presence, O God. You have addressed us already. You have shown us the salvation. We are saved. At the end, it shall and will be manifested. O God, let us in these final seconds of the time of grace recognize your will and let us be placed into the divine order. Lord, if it pleases you, then speak today to us in an understandable way, not in parables, not in symbols. Speak free and open with us. Lord, may this meeting be under the leading of your Spirit. Faithful God, direct and lead everything, and we lay ourselves before you. Thank you that you will do it. Blessed be your wonderful and holy name. Amen. Amen. To the word which we heard already, does actually not need to be referred to. It touched all our hearts. We understood what's all about. It says here, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And afterward comes then the whole purpose of the matter, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, also about this we spoke already, and I have been in the gold mine myself, probably 1,000 meter deep, even sometimes 1,200 meters. I have seen tons of gold, but this was no good. It first had to be taken out. It was rocks, left and right. I don't want to go into details. But then, in the evening, one saw a bright fire burning. And then it was melted. And then the slag and everything was separated from this gold. And then it was poured out like a mighty stream. And behold, it was pure, precious gold. But the fire had to be very, very strong. There could not just be a lukewarm flame. It had to be separated. It had to be purged, separated. And we will come to that later today. I will read a number of scriptures, and may God make use of them to by it speak to all of us. It just touches me that God has led the apostles in such a way that they everything, even the prayer. And now you may be astonished or not. Not only doctrinally or prophetically according to the plan of salvation, But even when it was about prayer, they included the words of the Holy Scriptures in their prayers, and they have poured out their hearts before God, and at the same time they listed scriptures. And I just want to touch upon this one prayer in Acts chapter 4 from verse 24. Acts chapter 4 from verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, who hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. On the one hand, a regrettable condition, gathered together, given over, and so forth. On the other hand, the statement, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Let us go to Psalms 2, in which this word is written, and from there we will read some more scriptures. Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Is this not a wonderful word? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. If we look into our time, everything comes together. Everything is uniting. Everything shall come under one head. Everything shall be in unity, as they say, to be strong. To us the word applies, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We are not here to be put together by men and thus being bound, getting into their bands, but we are ordained to be free, to take everything away from us. And the Lord said it, of course, in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach deliverance to the captives. In verse 7 it says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. I want to remind us to last night, Isaiah 49. It is not enough for me that you bring back the tribes of Israel, but that you become the light of the Gentiles unto the ends of the earth, and so that my salvation reaches the ends of the earth. Listen what is written in verse 8. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. God has spoken through the mouths of his servants and prophets from the very beginning. The plan of salvation was announced in advance and was written down. When we read verse 12, there it says, Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. Oh, that we would have recognized, and this revealed by the Spirit, that we, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, were reconciled and joined with God, and that God has pardoned us forever. In Psalms 8, we read some words. From verse 4, When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? We have spoken already about this word, but I'm not sure whether all of us understood the divine meaning. Man and Son of Man are here spoken of in one breath. They belong together. What is man? This is you and I. What is the Son of Man? This is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And here comes the context. What is man that thou art mindful of him? God would not have paid any attention to us. After all, we separated us from him. Who made the bridge? Who is the mediator? Who is the reconciliation? Where did the encounter with God and us took place? In Jesus Christ, our Lord. What is man? What are thou? And what am I? What are we? Nothing. And even less than that. But what have we become through Jesus Christ, our Lord? He humbled himself, became obedient unto the death on the cross, and has all our disobedience taken upon himself, all our guilt and sin. And it was him in whom we were reconciled with God. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Where did it happen and how? I want to read still some more words from verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. This word shall speak to us today as never before. And we will see that all of us were included in this verse. That this word is written in the singular, and I will show you where it is found in the plural. And if God can bring us to the point that we recognize our divine stand, then he will use us and bless us so that through us his word finds confirmation and fulfillment. Let us go to 2 Samuel 7 verse 14. There this word is written. And don't be astonished that in the second half of verse 14, a human-like evidence is given in the Word of God, which hardly can apply to our Lord. I read 2 Samuel 7, 14. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. I don't want to read any further at the moment. Compare that the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, when he spoke of Christ the Lord, stops here. He did not read the verse to the end. Here he stopped. Namely, he read only that part that applied to Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you imagine that we in the New Testament would read of Jesus Christ what I will now read in the second part of verse 14? If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. Our Lord was God manifest in the flesh. If he would have committed iniquity, then your and my iniquity could not have been abolished. He was perfect, completed. Why? As the word in the prophet Isaiah 61, which our Lord read in Luke chapter 4, he stopped in the middle of the verse. He stopped there where it had to stop, to read that part which referred to the ministry then. Here, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews stopped in the middle of a verse. I say once again, could somebody imagine that we, in reference to Jesus Christ, would read in the New Testament, I will be father unto him, and he shall be son unto me? This sounds good. This is wonderful. But just imagine, if we would have to think on Christ and then read, if he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. Our Lord could not commit iniquity and didn't commit iniquity. Here it is about the head and about the members. Here it is about the Redeemer and the redeemed, about the mystery of God, which was hidden since the world began. And in the course of time, it should be revealed. I hope we will see something soon. We must see it in these days. It is not enough for us to place the prophets and the apostles. It is not enough that we say John the Baptist had his ministry and Paul had his and Brother Branham had the ministry which was given to him. All this is wonderful, and for this we are grateful to God. But now it is about the completion of the church, about the calling out, so that we are transferred into the divine stand. And there was never a time in which everything could be placed so biblically as in our days. And this not because we would make an exception, but because the hour of God has come, in which these things must become reality. And therefore God does all these things, so that his great and world-embracing counsel becomes a reality. Let me read a word. I will just come back to this same thought. From Acts 15, to show how Peter, how James, how all these men of God were led by the Spirit of God. I read from verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. What do we see here? The same what Paul recognized because of the word of prophecy and what was revealed to him, that God would call out from the nations a people for his name's sake, leading them out and building his church of them. Here we read, I will be father unto him, and he shall be son unto me. The rest is no more here. It's missing. Let us now read the word from 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, the last verse. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, the last verse. And I will be a father unto you. Hallelujah. I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Once in the singular, I will be father unto him, and he shall be son unto me. Then the bridge to the New Testament, very clearly divided and recited. I will be father unto him, and he shall be son unto me. Now it is spoken in the plural, and the same word is used for the church that was used for the Lord. Do you see what it is about? Not only an object lesson, not only knowledge and teaching, but about that we recognize our divine stand, and that by faith we remain standing on it. And now I read the previous verses so that we recognize of what it's about here and who is addressed and who was meant. For this is very important. It's no good if somebody takes the last verse without paying attention to the verses which are written before, for they belong together. I read from the second part of verse 15, or perhaps of the second part of verse 16. For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Listen what is written in verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. To whom does this word apply? To all denominations, to all churches and fellowships? Here the Lord speaks of the church of the living God. He speaks of a multitude which is called out. Ye, my people, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. This belongs together. Perhaps we don't understand this now at the moment, and maybe we say, is the line not drawn too close? No, God has limits, limits of his word, and inside of them the whole plan of salvation comes to pass. And we have to remain inside of these limits. But who hears this call? Who comes out? Who lets himself be purified of all the traditions, of all what does not belong into the original practice and proclamation in the church? And who lets himself be called out of everything? Firstly, we must recognize in what kind of way God calls. And here I want to say something this morning. A person who is himself in a denomination can neither call out himself nor others. Only those can call out who are not themselves in the thing from which others shall be called out. And therefore, all the prophets were outsiders. They came on the scene with a "Thus saith the Lord," and passed on the call of God to mankind. What was with John the Baptist? Was he part of the Pharisees or Sadducees or scribes or who they were? Where did he come on the scene? He went according to the word of God, Isaiah 40 verse 3 and 4, into the wilderness and began his ministry. He could call out and could separate a people in his days as the God-sent messenger who was not part of any group. In the natural, he had to walk in the footsteps of his father Zacharias to become priest. But the Lord laid his hand on him for a very specific purpose. He was the messenger who should prepare the way. All this we understood. Beloved, if we humbly emphasize, probably misunderstood by others, that the plan of salvation takes its end just as it began, and that God has sent a messenger, as before the first coming of Christ, so also before his second coming, then with it, we didn't say anything unbiblical. Just the contrary, then we recognized the plan of God and understood that we cannot remain in all the religious systems and then even walk to Rome and then end up in heaven. Believe me, the way of God was shown to us in the Holy Scripture. And whoever wants to reach the destination must walk on God's way. Who should be surprised today that a Brother Branham neither was part of the Methodist nor of the Baptists? He was an ordained Baptist preacher. And when Dr. Roy Davis arranged a conference and said, "Then and then we will ordain women preachers," then this simple man from Kentucky, he said, "Without me, without me." And then this Dr. Davis said, "You can pick up your card." And this he did, and has torn it in pieces. And then this man said, "To whom do you want to preach? You will only preach to the pillars in the tabernacle. You will not find people who hear you with your education." Beloved, God does not speak to anyone by a high education. God speaks to the people in simplicity and wants that they discern his voice from all the highly educated voices of the time. So, a man was thrown out himself so that he stands outside of every camp and so that he can call out people from every camp. If he would have remained himself inside, he could not have called out anyone. Oh, the wisdom of God is just so wonderful. Here, we have the Holy Scripture, and it says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." I want to ask you today, doesn't this word overwhelm you beyond measure? On one hand, written in reference to Jesus Christ our Lord, "I will be father unto him, and he shall be son unto me." Prophetically, in 2 Samuel 14 verse 7, or 7:14, in the New Testament, Hebrews 1, and then comes the part, "If he commits iniquity," who can commit iniquity? Of course, not the Lord, but you and I. We can commit iniquity. And James writes, "If somebody sins, we have an advocate with God, namely Jesus Christ, the just." Dear heart, do not despair in your sin. As sons and daughters of God, the Almighty has calculated all this into his program. And it says, "If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with a rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men." And then we could read on, "Every son whom he receives, he chastises." Every son whom he loves and whom he receives, him he chastises. Coming back to Hebrews, let us read from chapter 2 these verses, which are known to all of us, from verse 6. "But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Here we have been again included in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We have been made sons and daughters of God. And you can read this in the same chapter, in verse 11. for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one Father, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. Oh, what a fullness of thoughts of God! Both have the same Father, he who sanctifies and them who are sanctified. And when our Lord said in the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father. A divine joining. Who is the man and who is the Son of Man? Mankind was reconciled with God in the Son of Man, and were made sons and daughters of God, and have been transferred back into the divine stand. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the good news. This is divine truth, which makes you and me free from all pious traditions. Dear heart, we have been included into the program of God. We are not standing outside, not guests and not pilgrims, at least not with God. In this world, yes, but with God, we are of his household. We belong to God, who has pardoned us, who called us out, and who has included us in his overall program. Called out ones, not just people who are once saved. There will be many, many of them who will have part in the second resurrection, according to Revelation 20 from verse 11, when the final judgment will take place. Then all whose names are written in the book of life, they will enter glory. But of this we don't speak today. Today it is about those who partake in the marriage supper of the Lamb, who are part of the bright church of Jesus Christ, who shall have part in the first resurrection, of whom it is written, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Ye, my people, be ye separate, come out, touch not the unclean thing, then I will be your God, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. So, we must hear the call and come out before we can claim the last verse for ourselves. Without the two previous verses, nobody can claim the last verse for himself. And if he does it, he makes it in his own responsibility. And at the end, he will be disappointed. God did not let the last message go forth that we should carry on as before, but that we get clarity, that we hear the call, that we come out, that we separate ourselves, not touching any unclean thing, and there is enough of it. Whoever has once read church history and all the human ideas which were mixed with the Word of God, all these Roman and Greek thoughts which were inserted, this is a mixing that never saved anyone. And we dealt with it already here. Out of a mixed proclamation, a mixed seed, and mixed believers came forth, and therefore a purification had to take place. And the divine seed had to be sown unmixed into the called out multitude, so that at the end a pure divine harvest can take place. And as we heard it, the tares have already bundled in all the many bundles, and they are now really summarized in this great bundle. But by the grace of God, there are people on earth who simply belong to God, and they are the ones who hear the call, who let themselves be addressed, and who then come out. For me, this is something great, that we as humans, forgetful and weak, deficient as we are, that we were included into this great, infallible redemption work of God. I will be father unto him, and he shall be son unto me. And then the calling out, the separation, and then I will be father unto you, plural, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters. Have you ever seen it that way? I only saw it that way recently. Oh, how wonderful is God! Not a philosophizing and discussing about message and messenger, but a being led into it, into the mysteries of God, step by step. And we will not kindle any own fire on the altar of God, just as we didn't bring any own word and own interpretations, but living in the faith and waiting patiently that the same God who speaks so graciously with us, that he's able to realize and confirm his word that we have received in power and strength in our lives. Precious brothers and sisters, we have been placed into the great program of God. He the head as the Redeemer, we the members make up his body, the body of the Lord. He the Redeemer belongs to the redeemed, and the redeemed to him. Inseparable. He the Son, we the sons and daughters. He made the beginning, and we were placed within it. Let us keep this in mind. The calling out and separation is the precondition for being classified and appointed by God as a son and daughter. And to it, may God give me and to all of us the grace. Let us never forget this word. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So, it is thus saith the Lord. Let us receive it from the hand of our God. And let us say to him by faith and trust, Lord, here is our life. May your word be confirmed in us. He will do it. Blessed be his holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Perhaps we sing at first the chorus, Just as I am. Let us raise our hands and sing it again. Heavenly Father, with all my heart, I thank you for your precious and holy word. As David said in Psalms 2, driven by the Spirit of God, I will declare thy counsel. Lord, Paul could say, I declared unto you the whole counsel of God. Beloved Lord, who are we that you look at us so graciously, that we could recognize the time in which we live, and having heard the message, and that we could obey your call? O God, we thank you together for your grace and faithfulness. Lord, you our Redeemer, as the Son of God, you were manifested here in the flesh on this earth. You humbled yourself so that you can die, and you became like one of us, but without sin, without iniquity, so that you can take upon yourself our sins, our guilt, making us sons and daughters of God, that we are born of the same word and the same Spirit, born again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Lord, how wonderful art thou! It goes beyond our knowledge, our understanding. And we thank you that you come down to us in such a way, and in these days, speaking with us. Lord, everybody has understood you so clear. You spoke with us as a friend speaks to his friend. Dear Lord, now we have one common request. May we be manifested as sons and daughters of God after we have been called out, after we separated ourselves, having left all the old leaven behind us. May we find grace in thy sight, and may we be manifested as sons and daughters of God. Thank you for the leading of your Holy Spirit, for the revealing of thy will and of thy word. O God, every revelation which comes from you comes through your word and comes through your Spirit. I thank you for it, and I praise your name. May we, as the blessed ones of the Lord, bring honor to you, who you have taken our shame on you, and the reproach you bore. Lord, be merciful to us, for the sake of your blood, and of your word, and of your name, and do something that surpasses everything before, so that we can also praise you when we experience the confirmation of your word in our midst. I thank you for all my brothers and all my sisters. Lord, you have sent a man who was outside of all the Christian camps to call out, and you admonish us in Hebrews that also each one of us shall go forth outside of the camp and bear your reproach. Help us to do as Moses did, who esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Lord, we thank you and we praise your name. We could sing, it is well with my soul. You pardoned us, salvation was given to us, and for this we thank you, faithful God. May in every heart open up a fountain which flows into eternal life. May your Holy Spirit come upon the church, quickening your word unto new life. To you, the Almighty God, our Father, be the thanks through Jesus Christ, our Lord, for you have become also our God and our Father. Therefore, we may pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, this is our request, the deepest longing of our heart. Thy will be done. Blessed be your holy name. You will take care for it. We cast away all our bonds. We get rid of what wants to hold on to us. For whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. We thank you. We praise you. And we worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore I worship you. My God, I worship you. From the bottom of my heart, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you.